Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Dr. Emily Byers. She's a swine veterinarian at Prestige Farms in North Carolina. Welcome, Emily.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me.
You bet. The pork industry is intimately familiar with porcine circovirus type 2 and the world of hurt that can cause when it's not kept in check. You've had experience with porcine circovirus type 3.
Yes, I have.
Is it similar or different?
In some ways it's similar. Clinically it can be very similar and can cause some of the same clinical disease syndromes that we see, some of the post-weaning multisystemic wasting type syndromes, porcine dermatitis and nephritis syndrome and porcine circovirus associated disease. So you're wasting your clinically jaundiced pigs that are not performing well. I have had experience and the reproductive effects with PCV3, similarly to what's been described by Darren Madsen previously and Jeremy Pittman and some others. So some very similar clinical effects, but when you look at these two viruses, when you break it down to the molecular level, they're very distinctly different. When you put them on a dendrogram and compare homologies, they're their own separate viruses. They're both circular DNA viruses in the same circovirus family, but very, very distinct.
So, similar name, but much different appearance. What does that mean, though, in the way it presents itself in a swine herd?
Well, we're not really sure. There's a huge knowledge gap at this point, starting to get some traction, starting to get some research done, but we're still not quite sure exactly what PCV3-associated disease is. The case that I'm familiar with and have been intimately involved in, we were able to show that this was a pathogen that did cause disease and caused reproductive failure and sow mortality, acute sow death loss. But beyond that, others have reported it across the globe. It's been reported in grow finish mortality and in cardiac myositis, acute death in other type pigs, but we really collectively have a lot of research yet to do on this virus to really fully understand the implications.
Tell me exactly what you experienced with this virus.
So previously in my career, I was working with a couple of sister sow farms, what we called sister sow farms, and approximately 7,500 sows on this site and an off-site gilt acclimation site and the downstream performance, and we saw typical clinical signs that we would attribute to what's been reported with PCV2 in both the growing pigs, the gilts, and in sows. We would have sows that would be healthy one day and be dead the next day, and we would have sows that would present with these dermatitis lesions, these dermal lesions, just red, purple, blotchy lesions under the belly and back towards the perineum. So we began investigating that, and when we would turn in tissues, we would get lesions. We would get lymphoid depletion, skin lesions, kidney lesions, very suggestive of circovirus-associated disease. But PCV2 is consistently negative on PCR and immunohistochemistry. Mm-hmm. So we began thinking something's not quite right here. And then we began to associate it with mummified fetuses at the sow farm level as well. And we're able to, eventually after we identified the virus, they developed a PCR and we went back and tested those mummified fetuses and we were able to detect the virus in those samples as well.
Can you give me a sense for the timeline? I mean, did this just strike overnight, or was it a gradual thing?
No, this was very gradual. From when we began to appreciate clinical signs in the downstream performance, and then what we felt was a decrease in production at the sow farm level, it was about a year and a half between that point and actually achieving a diagnosis of, hey, we have a potentially new pathogen here.
And do you have any idea how that pathogen got there?
No idea whatsoever, no idea.
No smoking guns, no repair crews coming in?
No. We know now, some work has been done and was presented here at ASV in the student session, that this virus appears to be very prevalent in the U.S. And very widespread. And through some testing and some surveillance of historical samples. So I believe it's out there, it's everywhere, but we don't know what triggered it to actually cause disease.
And because of the different molecular structure, if you're vaccinating pigs, in this case grower pigs, for PCV2, you're not going to have any protection against PCV3?
That's our assumption. We've not done the research on that to prove that, but that is our assumption because they're vastly different viruses on the molecular level. So
once it strikes and you've got this big mess on your hands, what do you do to try to stop the losses at that point?
I wish I knew. We struggled for over a year and a half on this farm that I was dealing with, and historically a few years ago, and things just did not get better. We did nothing. We tried to ride it out, let it burn out, because we obviously have no vaccines for this virus at this time, and that was not working. We did not want to pursue a feedback or a live virus inoculation because we felt like that was too uncontrolled, and there were too many potentially negative consequences and unknowns with that method that my client at that time was not comfortable with. So we actually did go in with a commercially available PCV2 vaccine because we had no good options, no well understood options at that time. But we thought we would try something. When we did that, we saw that sows reacted pretty strongly to that mass vaccination. We had fevers and we had anorexia and sows that aborted. We saw quite a large number of abortions in that. It seemed to go away after that.
Really?
So I don't know if it was the vaccine itself that did that. I'm very skeptical that the PCV2 vaccine was able to do that, like you said, because they're so different. But I don't know if maybe we helped spread that virus around the farm when we moved it on a needle injecting sows. It's possible. Mm-hmm. It could have been a response to adjuvant, any number of things. We tested a large number of those sows, and PRRS remained negative in those sows. So we don't believe PRRS was the cause of that, but we could have also had some other factors in there. But over time, performance improved. Mm-hmm. The wean to finish performance improved dramatically over about 9 months. So, and to my knowledge, they've not seen it again there. Hmm. I see it occasionally from time to time, and now I can find this virus. When I look for it, PCRs are available out there now, and when we look for it, we can find the virus, but still trying to understand what does it mean. So what does a positive result mean? And that's where we've got to rely on our clinical signs and trying to understand this virus a little more.
So knowing what you know today, if this were to hit again, what would you do differently, or what advice would you give to other veterinarians and producers that might come across similar symptoms?
In my talk today, I want to really impress upon people that we need to be diligent with this virus, because I think back to the reports of PCV2 as it was emerging as a pathogen, and there were sporadic reports of disease similar to this, grow-finish pigs with similar problems. And then over time, it really grew into what we consider one of the most significant pathogens in our industry today. So, I would tell people we need to be diligent when we're seeing these clinical signs. We need to keep pushing. If we've got clinical signs and we have lesions that speak to circovirus, but PCV2 is negative, we might need to consider PCV3 and look for that. And move forward with our knowledge gap.
Well, it sounds like a virus we're going to have to keep a very close eye on over the next few years.
I think so.
Well, thanks for sharing your experiences.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We've been talking to Dr. Emily Byers. She is a veterinarian at Prestige Farms in North Carolina. Thanks again, Emily.
Thank you.